This is Beth Summers, the Executive Director of Valley Stewardship Network, and I'm here with Shelley Brenneman. She's our Conservation Programs Coordinator at Valley Stewardship Network. And a little bit about our organization. We're a nonprofit based in Viroqua, Wisconsin, and our mission is to protect our land and waters through research, education, and community empowerment. And we're really excited to be celebrating our 25th anniversary as an organization. It's hard to believe that Valley Stewardship has been around that long, but we've done a lot in the last 25 years. I personally have been with the organization 2.5 years now, and I'm so impressed by all the different things that have happened over the years. So we're excited to celebrate that and to invite all of our members and people in the community to come and celebrate with us.
And when is the big event, Beth, the big celebration?
It's taking place on the last Saturday in June, so that's June 28th at the Viroqua VFW in the pavilion, or if we get a big rainstorm, we'll pull it inside the VFW. And we have a lot of really exciting things lined up for that day. So it's going to be a suggested donation only. So anyone can come, and it's going to be very family-friendly. We hope people will come and bring their kids. And so some of the things that we'll have going on that day, we'll have a bunch of info booths, which we'll talk about our different program areas here in a little bit, but we'll have different booths for the various program areas. Some of our partners in conservation will also come with booths to highlight what they have going on in the area. And we'll have music all day long and food trucks. So Jovita's Kitchen is going to be there. And Mia Sofia, the new pizza truck in town. So we're all excited to try that. And Magpie Gelato will have a booth there. And there'll be a kids' tent. Shelley, do you want to talk a little bit about the kids' tent?
Yeah, we welcome you to bring the kiddos out. Sort of the afternoon time between 2 and 5:30 will be a time for kids to be getting involved in learning at the different booths that we have activities at, as well as a tent just specifically for the kids to do some crafts and other learning activities to learn about birds, the insects that live in our streams that sort of give us clues into water quality, learning about the wildlife that's in our area, and just getting a feel for how they can get to know their environment more, how they can learn to be stewards of this very unique and beautiful place that we live.
Yeah, and don't forget there's going to be a bounce house. So
awesome.
Hopefully kids will come and enjoy the bounce house. There's also going to be, at least we're mostly certain, probably going to be a stream table, which is both it's educational for both adults and kids. It's full of sand, and you can move it and kind of explore the dynamics of how a stream system works as water flows through it, and how the landscape changes when things erode and move over time.
Yeah, we were really grateful to the Fishers and Farmers Partnership for the Upper Mississippi River Basin, who they're located in this general Upper Mississippi region, working with us over the years to help support our program areas. And they do sponsor that stream table and bring it out for us to just help learn how we can learn about streams, how they function, how we can help support the habitat and good management of streams. So we really appreciate the opportunity to work with Fishers and Farmers.
Yeah, good point. And that's a really fun hands-on thing, too, because you can actually put your hands in and move it and manipulate it. And then along those same lines, we also have our Enviroscape model, which was generously, it was purchased through donations that we received through the Viroqua Food Co-op's Give Where You Live program. And that is, it's a model of a watershed that shows, you spritz water over it through this rain cloud sprayer, and it shows how water washes different compounds and pollutants into the waterways, and then how the different activities like putting in wetlands or putting in prairie might influence the way that runoff enters the waterway. So it's a really fun hands-on tool that kids and grown-ups can both learn from.
Yeah, it's really fun because you kind of make a model of your own community and you can see how a watershed functions. So when you think about what is a watershed, it's a really nice way to see real hands-on example of parts of a watershed, how you can manage the watershed to reduce flooding, to reduce runoff. And so it's a really fun activity, like you said, for all ages.
Yeah, so that will be there. So the whole thing kicks off at 2 in the afternoon, and so those demonstrations and info tables and things will be going from about 2 to 5 or 5:30. And then we have some really exciting speakers lined up after those demonstrations. So I'll get up and give a little talk about Valley Stewardship just for a few minutes, and then we're excited to welcome Terry Allendorf from Community Conservation. Do you want to talk a little bit about?
Sure, I'd love to. Community Conservation is one of our partners in our office building, which if you haven't been by the office, we welcome you to stop by on a Tuesday or give us a call. We'd be happy to meet with you when it works out for you and have a cup of tea and tell you about what we do there on Main Street. We have a Main Street office in Viroqua near the Temple Theater. It's 110 South Main Street. And we have, over the years, had some great local conservation partners there in our office. And right now, Community Conservation is our office mate. Community Conservation has an amazing history here in our area. Rob Horowitz was the founder of Community Conservation. As a primatologist, he worked all over the world to help preserve forests and other habitats to support the habitat for primates and other, you know, endangered wildlife. And the way he went about that work is to work closely with the local people that lived in those communities. And so instead of trying to figure out ways to preserve habitat that didn't involve local people, he involved them right away and found ways that really were win-wins for both the animals and the community members that lived in those forested areas. And so his model of community conservation has been used all over the world now, and definitely some of our local work in terms of watershed councils and local community efforts to do stewardship and conservation have been really inspired by Rob over the years. And Rob lived in Gays Mills for many years. And so Community Conservation is a worldwide conservation organization with many, many years of great success, and we're really lucky to have that as part of our local conservation heritage here. So please stop by and listen to Terry's story. She's taken over for Rob, and she travels all over the world working on these really important community conservation projects. So we're excited to have her at our celebration.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to hearing from Terry what they currently have going on, because they have some really neat international work in Southeast Asia and Africa, working with endangered species. So Terry is slated to go on at about 4:10. And then after that, we're getting a really exciting speaker, Kurt Meine, who wrote Aldo Leopold's biography.
Yeah, we're really excited to welcome Kurt as our keynote speaker. Kurt is a conservation biologist and a historian and a writer. And so beyond writing Aldo Leopold's biography, he's just done some fantastic work, again, I think all over the world and particularly here in the area. And I think he's going to really give us some great insights into the sort of past, present, and future of conservation, and again, in our very unique area. And so we're real excited for that conversation. And for those of you that don't know Aldo Leopold already, and many of us do, he's sort of Wisconsin's most famous conservationist, certainly. He inspired, again, some of the first watershed-level conservation projects in the 30s, working with Coon Creek Watershed and others to reduce soil erosion and start working with local people, farmers, to install practices that help protect water quality and reduce flooding. A lot of the work that we're still doing today, and certainly important stuff here in our area. So if you haven't read A Sand County Almanac, that's one of Aldo Leopold's most famous work, probably. And I really encourage you to pick up a copy. I know Driftless Books has several copies right now. And so it's a really easy read. You can read it by the month. It goes through just a really nice annual almanac of what's happening in nature during that month. And so I would encourage you guys to get out and pick up a copy and see what's going on throughout the seasons and what wildlife and what things you should be out watching for when you're out exploring our area.
Yeah, it's really neat to have such a beautiful piece of writing that pertains specifically to this region, too. So
absolutely, really cool. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, Aldo Leopold had a farm in the Sand County was where his farm was over on the Wisconsin River, so certainly a lot of very similar wildlife and seasonal processes that he talks about are very specific to our area as well.
Yeah, so Kurt's presentation is supposed to start at 4:30, so be sure to come and hear that. And there's going to be music both before and after the speaker. So in the early part of the day, we've got Dylan Harris coming to play. Very excited to hear him. And then after our speakers are done at about 5:30, we're going to bring in a few bands. So we've got the Pie City Twisters coming in at about 5:45, and they'll be playing some really fun, danceable rockabilly. Then after that is actually the band that I play keyboard in, Sharon is Karen. So we're supposed to go on about 6:45. So
that's awesome. Yeah. Looking forward to seeing you play, Beth. I haven't seen you play before, yeah. And it's going to be fun.
It'll be interesting to be running around doing the event and then jump up on stage and play a little keyboard. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, we do a lot of covers from the 70s, 80s, 90s, a lot of like fun rock songs that a lot of people know. So
Oh, great.
Get people up dancing. And then we're moving straight into a dance party with DJ E. Hillman starting at about 7:45 and going till 9. So come and get your dance on.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and there's going to be a lot of really fun raffle items. One thing we definitely know is on the docket for the raffle is an airplane ride. So Ben Hansen has generously offered to take someone up in his plane, so the lucky winner. But there's lots of other, it's still in process, fun raffle items too that are emerging. So
that's great. I know Nan Marshall's going to have a sort of a recreation package of like a carrier for the car and some snowshoes and just a bunch of stuff that helps you get out and enjoy nature year round. And we sure appreciate Ben's offer to take someone up in the plane because it really does give you that bird's eye view of the watershed and of the area that we live. And depending on what season you go up, it certainly is a beautiful way to sort of appreciate the uniqueness of this area, the uplands, the valleys, and just all that unique topography that we have.
Yeah, I might have to put in a few raffle tickets myself because that'd be really fun.
For sure.
I know we got a gift basket from the Viroqua Food Co-op that'll be up for raffle. Yeah, lots of really fun items. And if anyone in the community is listening and has something that they think would be a good raffle item and they'd like to donate it, all of the proceeds of this event go toward conservation in our area and community initiatives that we have going on. So it's a great way to maybe use that donation that you've been thinking about giving to a charitable organization.
And we really need your support in these days and times where federal funding is in question and certainly has changed a lot. We find in these times that getting together in our local areas, sort of pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps and seeing all the resources that we can gather locally and make sure that the work that we're doing is really immediately impactful and important to our local area. And so we're really excited to get your support and your ideas for projects that we should be thinking about for the future. And so please feel free to come and talk to us about ideas that you have. And we really are, hoping to meet the conservation needs of our area and are excited about the future.
Yeah, and, we get a lot of questions lately about the state of our funding. The majority of our funding at this time is federal grant funding, and we've been really lucky so far that all of our current grants are continuing, although there's some question about some of them, or some of them have definitely been slowed down as far as the processing that, when we actually get paid, it's kind of, there's some uncertainty. So we've been lucky so far, but we definitely are looking to expand our funding sources to some more stable sources, and that includes community members and other charitable foundations. And So we're, you know, the part of our impetus for throwing an extra big party is just to bring awareness to what we're trying to do so that we can shift some of our focus away from federal grants towards other ways to continue our mission.
For sure. And we VSN is a membership-based organization from the beginning, and we really appreciate the support of members, and it's been really key for our work all through the years. So I think sometimes the word grant has a bit of a misnomer that somehow it's the sort of free money that we get to do whatever we want with. Certainly not the case. We've been lucky as a small organization to have federal funding, but really a better and more accurate term would be federal contracts. So we're doing work that is often done by federal agencies, but we're doing it on the grassroots level. We're doing it in a very efficient way, but it's all very specific set of deliverables that we have to get done. And so it's not that we get to just do whatever we want. So, and it's a lot of work to work on those contracts. It's a lot of administration. And so the more projects that we can get locally that are more sort of straightforward and less paperwork or less red tape, the better. And so we certainly see a lot of potential for that in the future to do more locally based projects.
Yeah, great point, Shelley. So I thought we could transition and talk a little bit about some of the different program areas that we'll be highlighting at the anniversary. Did you have any other thing that you wanted to add about the event itself that I might have forgotten?
Well, I don't think so. Just reminding people it's June 28th. It's a Saturday, last Saturday in June. And rain or shine, we'll be out at the VFW to educate the folks, the public about our program areas. Also just have some fun celebrating 25 years of great projects and food, music, education, speakers. We're really excited about the day. So please come out and join us.
Yeah, we hope that we'll get some new folks that maybe don't already know about Valley Stewardship Network or aren't already members. It's open to anyone, members and non-members, and it is really easy to become a member of Valley Stewardship. All you have to do is give a donation of any amount. So we hope to really expand the number of people that are in our network and hearing the great news about the different programs that we have going on.
Yeah, you may have seen some of the Watershed t-shirts that we have designed with the help of Mike Coppa and Thomas Wise. We have t-shirts from the Bad Axe Watershed, the Tainter Watershed, the Kickapoo Watershed, West Fork Watershed. I think we're working on a couple of other options too for t-shirts, but we'll definitely have the t-shirts there, the Watershed t-shirts at the event.
Did you say Coon Creek?
Coon Creek Watershed, for sure. I knew I was forgetting one. Sorry about that. But we'll have all the t-shirts there. I know they're popular, and our bird-friendly products, you know, helping folks kind of learn more about how to protect birds in our community. So those products will be there as well.
Yeah, and actively recruiting volunteers to help with the event too. And anyone that volunteers gets a VSN hat.
Awesome.
So we've got some cool new hats coming out, and they'll be for sale at the event too. But we really could use some help if you know anyone who would like to just put in a little bit of time, get themselves a free hat, have a fun time interacting with people. And even young people might want to help in the kids' tent with some face painting
great.
Or
yeah.
craft.
So. Absolutely. That would be wonderful. So yeah, for folks that would like to volunteer, please give us a call at the Valley Stewardship Network office, and our phone number is 608-637-3615, or you can always email us at info@valleystewardshipnetwork.org.
Yeah. So we're going to have all our staff there, and each person is going to talk about their specialty area. We have a really great team right now at VSN, some experts in different areas, and we're excited to have them willing to come and talk to the public about what their work is. So Dave Creer, our prairie planting specialist, will be talking about our prairie program. And we have a really great, successful prairie program that has been largely funded by donations from the community, as well as some grants too. Fishers and Farmers has been a great funder of prairie planting. But as of now, we have about 100 acres planted to date. So we're getting into the triple digits in our acreage, and really exciting. One of them is a really visible location just outside of Viroqua at the Sleepy Hollow Ford, and they're creating an interpretive station there with a bench that you can sit at and look out over the prairie while you get your car worked on. And
yeah, that's a really beautifully done prairie. Dave Creer and team has, and Tom Lukens has done really great work with establishing prairie. They've learned a lot over the years about how best to do it so that those years in between the planting and when it's obviously a prairie, or sometimes, you know, you have to be a little bit patient, but then, boy, that Sleepy Hollow Prairie is a gorgeous resource to look at on the highway and for folks to enjoy while they're there. And I know that Dave and crew just worked with Vernon County Land and Water to plant 20 acres of prairie out at the Vernon County Farm. So that'll be a fairly visible location as well, out in that part of Viroqua. So yeah, we're excited to see how that comes along. But the prairie plantings have done a great job of not only providing habitat for pollinators and wildlife, birds and whatnot, but also helping to reduce runoff, to infiltrate water, keeping the water on the land, and keeping erosion from going into our waterways. So the prairies are incredibly important for those reasons, as well as sequestering carbon and building soil. Just, you know, what doesn't a prairie do? That's great stuff. So we really commend Dave and team for all the good work.
Yeah, and there's so much potential there with that county farm to be a demonstration site for all the benefits that you just listed, you know, and a research site too, to try and get some numbers behind to show how useful that prairie is going to be as far as improving soil health and providing habitat. So really excited about that project. So another one of our great program areas that we're going to be highlighting at the event is our regenerative agriculture program, which has been a real focus of recent years.
Yeah, we're really excited to work a lot with local farmers and landowners. I know the first half of VSN's history was really focused on getting to know the water quality in our streams and what makes it special, what makes it unique to be able to support cold water fisheries like our trout populations, and really getting to know how we best can protect those streams. And so then the second half of our history has really focused on how do we work with farmers and landowners to install practices in the uplands that really do have a beneficial impact on water quality, and basically keeping the sediment out of the streams, keeping the sediment on the land, where that's a win-win. So we've got protecting our streams as well as keeping our agricultural productivity where it needs to be for farm benefits as well. So with our ag program, we really try to find ways that agriculture and stewardship can go hand in hand. So a lot of our regenerative ag program, which is kind of headed up by Genesis Gordon, who is our conservation outreach specialist, she works a lot with the farmer-led and community-led watershed councils, and helping farmers really kind of look at their work on the watershed scale. So how can neighbors and groups, you know, work together within their sub-watershed to install practices that really have a very measurable benefit to our water quality? And so that's a real exciting area where we work with grazing, rotational grazing, as well as the prairie strips are added into a lot of farms to help reduce the erosion and infiltrate water. And so as well as cover crops and, you know, other soil building practices that we, you know, we offer technical assistance and grazing planning and, you know, just helping you find resources for whatever your conservation goals are as a landowner.
Yeah, and then as a way of showing the benefits of the practices that Shelley's been talking about, we are increasing our ecological monitoring program now. That's kind of our next big program area, and we now have Scott Walter as our ecological monitoring coordinator on staff. Very happy to have added him as a very knowledgeable staff member. So for many years, we've looked at water quality in our area, and we have a long-term data set from our local streams, but we're also starting to add things like measurements of habitat quality through things like bird surveys, pollinator surveys, veg surveys, so looking at what plant species are there at these different land practice sites, and then also taking measurements of soil quality before and after putting in various practices to see how that changes. And then our newest program is now working with some other local agencies for the Kickapoo Bird Habitat Initiative, and that'll be its own podcast, I'm sure, in the near future. But we're working with the DNR, the Mississippi Valley Conservancy, the Kickapoo Valley Reserve, the Ho-Chunk Nation, and Audubon to help protect and enhance habitat in and around our local important bird area. So there's some bird surveys that we're doing out at the Kickapoo Valley Reserve here coming up to try and find what the most key habitat areas are within the reserve for sensitive bird species. And then we're providing that information to the reserve managers to include in their next five-year management plan. And then we also are working with landowners around that that important bird area that spans the Kickapoo Valley Reserve and Wildcat Mountain State Park to see if we can help people restore habitat continuity and improve habitat for birds on their lands. So we're offering site consultations to landowners who want to attract more birds to their land. We'll go out to people's places and tell them simple steps they can take to improve their habitat and get more bird species using their yards. So that's a fun way for us to get out of the office and see what people have going on their land.
Right. And I think it's nice to think about wherever you live, whether it's in town and you have a yard or out on an acreage or on a, you know, many 100-acre farm, that there's always projects that you can do, practices that you can install, plants that you can plant for, you know, native plants to help wildlife, birds, help soil quality. So there's, no matter what scale you're at, we have resources and ideas for you. And that kind of brings us to our sort of our flagship program over the years is our water quality monitoring program that's involved volunteers. And so Ben Johnston will be at the festival to talk to you about how you can get involved as a volunteer to do water quality, either in a sort of a, you know, popular area that you're interested in learning about, or perhaps on your own land where you have a waterway. If you want to learn from Ben and get some equipment so that you can go out once a month and measure temperature, dissolved oxygen, turbidity, which is kind of a measure of how much sediment's in the water, also pH sometimes, and maybe once a year you'll go out and do a survey of all the insects, so the aquatic insects that live there is, again, gives you a sort of an idea of what the water quality is based on what insects you're finding living there. So come on out if you're interested in water quality monitoring, and Ben will have a booth as well. And for those of you that know Ben Johnston, he's quite the local expert on all things water, frogs, bats, birds. So Ben is just a wealth of information on whatever you might be interested in learning more about in our environment here locally. He gives a lot of our programs at the library. And so, come on out and learn a little bit more about whatever of these programs you're most interested in. We'll certainly have resources and ideas for you, and be interested in your feedback about what you see as the needs are in our community. So please come out and enjoy the day with us.
Yeah, hope to see everyone out on June 28th and get some more information about all these different program areas.
Yeah, and we just appreciate WDRT for giving us a chance to talk about our organization, and welcome the community to get more involved. And thanks to Dave Creer for producing our series. So we appreciate it, Dave. Thanks.